Now let's look at this book with seven seals here in the first four verses. He says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." Now let me give you now my translation. "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back, close sealed," that is, sealed tightly, "with seven seals." Now, the way this chapter opens, "and," that is a connective, a little conjunction that says something went before. And that is the string that ties us into chapter 4, you see. That actually, we don't need a chapter division here. I'm glad they made it. Makes it a little helpful, but we don't really need it at all because it's all the same subject. "And I saw here on the right hand of him that sat on the throne." Now, John is the witness of these events. You see, this is something that he sees now. Someone has written me a very interesting letter, which means that they are a very careful listener. They said, "You are an artist because you draw word pictures." Well, I disagree with that. I'm no artist of any kind whatsoever. And they say that you say constantly, "Isn't that a wonderful picture?" Or, "Isn't that a picture for you?" Well, I actually was totally unconscious that I used that expression, but I guess I do. May I say to you, I think that we ought to bring all our senses to bear here in the Word of God, and especially in Revelation. John is seeing and he's hearing. And one of the reasons that for years I used slides in my services, and I used them quite frequently, and I received some criticism for it. They said, "You ought not to bring that into the church." Well, my friend, may I say to you, we need to see a lot of things today. We need to hear a lot of things. And the Word of God should grasp and lay hold of all of our senses of tasting and smelling even. My, I tell you, there are certain scenes in this book that you can smell them. And there are places where you can smell the fire and brimstone. And that's important. Now, we find here that God the Father holds in his hand a scroll, which is rolled tightly and sealed closely with seven seals. Now, it was the manner in that day. Stauffer is the one that calls our attention that the Roman law required a will to be sealed seven times, as illustrated in the wills left by Augustus and Vespasian for the ones that were to succeed them. That was the method that was used, but we know in the book of Revelation that the number seven is not just an accidental number, or it wasn't used just because they used it in the Roman Empire, but it's interesting that seven was used. Now, Godet considers this the book of the new covenant. Others label it the book of judgment. Walter Scott considers it the revelation of God's purpose and counsel concerning the world. It perhaps should bear no title, as it is, as Dr. Ironside has suggested, the title deed to this world. And you find out that was God's method. You remember when the children of Israel were going into captivity, Jeremiah was instructed to have his servant to go and buy some property and to get the title deed to it, because these people were going to be returned to the land. Now, I think that what you have here is a title deed. And who holds the title deed to this earth down here? Well, none other but the Lord Jesus. He alone has it. There are several explanations regarding this. I think probably I ought to turn to several passages of Scripture right at this point. In the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, verse 13, I read, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, I believe that here you have a suggestion that what is being handed over to the Lord Jesus, and we'll see it will be handed over to him, is the title deeds to this world in which you and I live. He created it. He redeemed it. It belongs to him. And that is the picture that is given to us. And you also have the same thing, you remember, in Zechariah. And you remember I told you in Zechariah that you need to know it to understand Revelation. In the 5th chapter, he says, "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll." Same thing. "And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll, the length thereof 20 cubits, the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off." And some think that the 10 commandments are on this, and that the world is to be judged according to those commandments. There have been many suggestions, and I would like to make this suggestion because, very candidly, I feel like that it's more in line than any other that I have come across. And I believe that, to be more specific, it represents God's new covenant with Israel. And he talks about that a great deal. Jeremiah had said that, behold, he'd make a new covenant, that he'd write the law not upon tables of stone, but upon their hearts. And now in Romans, the 11th chapter, we find Paul writing, beginning at verse 26 and 27. I'm reading now. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." Now, if you turn over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, at verse 16, you'll read language like this. "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." Now, that is the thing that Jeremiah had mentioned in the 31st chapter. Now, I'll read on here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, at verse 17. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering of sins." You see, the old covenant God had made with Israel depended on man. The 10 commandments said, do, do, do. And it depended upon the weak arm of the flesh, and as a result, it failed. Not because there was anything wrong with the 10 commandments or with the law God gave. The problem was with man. It's just the same thing that you have in the Garden of Eden. So many people feel like there was something wrong with that fruit, or that that tree was something unusual. Well, I think it was good fruit, and just like any other. The problem was not the fruit on the tree, it was the pear on the ground where the problem was. Now, this new covenant depends on the power of the throne of God. It depends upon the Lord Jesus Christ.